The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You wanna claim my soul? You'll have to come and break down this door. I knew that something was going on.
Morning, Glory America. That's Van Morrison. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway. Van Morrison and Eric Clapton playing this morning. I am prompted to begin the show with Van Morrison and Eric Clapton because of a very long piece in the Washington Post this morning. What happened to Eric Clapton? The guitar legend has long been inscrutable, but this COVID turn has friends and fans puzzled like never before. So Eric Clapton is anti-lockdown. He's also somewhat suspicious of the vaccine, though he was vaccinated. He had very bad effects from the vaccine, so he's not quite an anti-vaxxer. He got vaccinated, but he's very anti-lockdown. And so he comes in for the treatment from the overclass. Now, I normally begin the rundown with hard news, like Russia looks like it's getting ready to invade Ukraine. But I think this is a perfect example of how not to persuade people to become vaccinated. I believe that you're very well served by getting vaccinated ASAP, especially if you're in the West, where COVID is peaking like it peaked on the East Coast a few weeks ago. It's now peaking in Colorado. Go get a booster if it's been since 6 months since your last vaccine. Governor Jared Polis, Democrat of Colorado, did a smart thing. He said, ignore the CDC, go get a booster. And in fact, the second story today, top Biden health official pushed to make coronavirus booster shots available to all adults. Well, that's very smart. Boosters should be available for all adults. Unfortunately, Rachel Walensky, the head of the CDC, yesterday said, well, I'm not sure. And so once again, the CDC is absolute aced in incoherence. They just have no idea what they're doing over there when it comes to communicating with the public. The message is simple. The vaccines work. They're safe. Go and get them. Get a booster if it's been 6 months since you got them. Then you'll be fine. If you get the virus, you'll just have the sniffles or a headache, or you'll be a bit fatigued for a little bit. Children don't have to worry much about the virus. The quarantine rules are absurd. The masking rules are absurd. If you have a healthy 5 to 11-year-old, I'd go get them inoculated. But I do not know what to do if they've had COVID, because there's actually no guidance on that, because the CDC can't do the good things and the necessary things at all. And they do the unnecessary things very, very well, which has confused people. That's unfortunate. Also, as I mentioned to you, prepare for Russian invasion of Ukraine. U.S. warns European allies. Well, that's interesting. And there's some photos in the Telegraph story about this with mass Russian troops on the border with Ukraine. And it makes you think that Putin is simply going to take back all of Ukraine. What will United States do? If we know Joe Biden, we'll know he'll be all on top of it, like he was on top of his speech at Veterans Day at the Tomb of the Unknowns yesterday, cut number two.
You know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time, pitcher in the Negro Leagues, went on to become a great pitcher in the pros, into the Major League Baseball after Jackie Robinson. His name was Satchel Paige.
Paige was a Cleveland Indian in the 1948 World Series winning Indians, the last time the Indians won the World Series, and they'll never win it again because of the Guardians now. So Satchel Paige was on the last World Series winning Indians team. He was 6-1 in what was his, quote, rookie, close quote, year of 1948. He was born in, I believe, 1906, so he would have been 42 when he pitched for the Tribe. And he went on to play for a number of years, and he was, and Joe Biden, the great Negro pitcher, honest to goodness, Satchel Paige, great American. You don't have to bring up the Negro Leagues. You might if you're talking about race, but if you just want to say don't look behind you, someone might be catching up. Who knows what Joe Biden was doing yesterday? It's really kind of a stunt. I went to a terrific Veterans Day memorial, the Rocky Versace Memorial in Alexandria, Virginia. Going to ask Winsome Sears about that a little bit later when the lieutenant governor-elect joins us. But the big news is we've got trouble in Ukraine, a lot of trouble in Ukraine. So keep your eye on it. They've also got trouble in Glasgow where they can't agree on anything except that the less developed countries want the more developed countries to give them billions and billions and billions of dollars that have something vaguely to do with climate change. But they can't agree to get rid of fossil fuels because no one's going to get rid of fossil fuels, because the reality is unless you build nuclear power, there is an alternative to coal and oil right now, nor will they be for 100 years. Let technology advance. But in the meantime, start adapting to a warmer planet, because that's what we're going to have. There's a brand new issue of National Review out, End Roe. I'm glad to have contributed to it. John Roberts versus Roe. A story in the new special issue of National Review on the Dobbins case. I simply make the argument that the Chief Justice tipped his hand in the 2010 case of Citizens United when he wrote a concurrence talking about when stare decisis matters and when it shouldn't matter at all. When you read what his Citizens United concurrence said, the Chief Justice should not be with Roe for all the reasons articulated in Citizens United. Tragic story yesterday, an Air Force sergeant killed himself on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. It's been a very bad year for veterans, particularly Afghanistan veterans who see the collapse of the country. Check in with your friends and your family members who fought in that or any war just to make sure how they're doing. This happens, unfortunately, every day somewhere in the United States with a veteran of combat. And the Pentagon is aware of it. The United States government is aware of it. They're doing what they can, but they're not very good at it. It requires friends and families to be constantly vigilant in the event that one of their own is suffering from depression and needs help. Talk about it if that's you. From Great Britain came a fun column this morning. When the wheels come off, who are you going to call? Super Rishi. Now, you may never have heard of Super Rishi. I want to play you a little bit of Rishi Sunak. He's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Cut number 13.
Enough.
I think for us as a government, it's fair to say that we need to do better than we did last week. And we know that.
Can you understand that people feel this looks sleazy?
As I said, for us as a government, we need to do better than we did last week, and we know that.
That Rishi Sunak is the subject of this great column in The Telegraph. When the wheels come off, who are you going to call Super Rishi? The Chancellor of the Exchequer gave a master class in triangulation, if not full-throated apology, some were hoping for. He is Boris Johnson's go-to guy, and he's going to be the next Prime Minister of Great Britain, and he's going to be a great one, and people like him, and it's terrific. People also like Christopher Rufo. Christopher Rufo joined me last night for an extended conversation. We were talking about why is the left so upset with him? Cut number 14. Tell us what you did. Tell us why the New Yorker and every other lefty hates you.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of Ryan, so I appreciate that. But, you know, what I did was simple but very effective. I did a series of investigative reports. Looking at the federal government, looking at public schools, and now looking at corporations that have adopted the principles of critical race theory, which is an ideology that maintains that the United States is fundamentally racist, that the world can be divided into oppressor and oppressed based on skin color, and that the United States has to be subverted through revolution in order for its citizens to be liberated. And so you're taking this radical ideology that emerged in law schools and university programs, trickled down to K-12. So I broke a series of these stories that generated enough attention to get President Trump's eye. He passed an executive order banning this kind of training programs from the federal government. And then I continued this year, after the change of presidents, looking at education, and it sparked this a grassroots revolt of parents who all of a sudden could see what was happening in their schools. And I was able to really contextualize it, to provide them a vocabulary, and to tell them you're not alone. If you see some of these really abusive racialist theories being taught to your kids, it's not just you, it's happening all over the country. And so it's become a big social issue, political issue, and one that is not favorable to the left, because the more people learn about this, the more they see it, the more they recoil from it. And so the Washington Post and the New York Times and MSNBC and the New Yorker have all come after me the last few months, which, you know, I think it's a testament to my influence, but also a kind of fun battle back and forth with these other media entities.
It is a great testament to his influence, and I'm going to post the entire conversation with Christopher Rufo of the Manhattan Institute at the interview with Hugh Hewitt today. That's my podcast. I hope you're subscribed to the interview with Hugh Hewitt. Let me check, however, I hope you've downloaded the Salem News Channel as well. On behalf of Birch Gold, let me check the market activity yesterday. Birch Gold is a great sponsor of the program. If you're going to buy gold, go to hughgold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747 and get that done. Yesterday, the Dow was down 158. The NASDAQ was up 81. You know, markets are still fundamentally coming to grips with the inflationary impact that is real, that is ongoing, and is going to stay there. There's just not going to be any change from inflationary impact. I'm trying to find the price of gold here, but it's not coming up for me this morning. I'll come back and tell you that. But I want you to head over to Birch Gold, because if you don't have Birch Gold, you are going to. There we go. Gold's at $18.54 an ounce this morning. Birch Gold is where you buy gold, which you need in inflationary times. Between 5 and 10% of your wealth should be in gold. Go to hughgold.com or text you to 474747. Rebalance your portfolio. Be prepared for the double-digit inflation that is coming, 6.4% last month. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. We'll talk about that after the break on this Friday morning edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Don't stop thinking about Dwayne and band camp tomorrow. Dwayne is running the band palooza that is happening in Southern California. He's the traffic guy. So Sonny Bunch, our movie critic, is coming in, not to his usual music, Sonny Bunch, but we're celebrating band dads everywhere, directing thousands of buses and vehicles to a giant band palooza in Southern California. And Dwayne is the guy with the, you know, those people on the airplanes when they're on the runways, when they have the lightsabers and they direct traffic?
Sure.
Well, that's what Dwayne's doing tomorrow for 14 hours. So he's really looking forward. He's looking forward to tomorrow.
I'm sorry. You have to explain. Van palooza. I don't understand what that means exactly. Is it just a
band palooza
with their bands?
Yeah, no, a band. The high school band.
They actually have a tournament, marching band tournament, featuring 35 schools all having a band tournament off.
And so you see, it's sort of like medieval times, only with trumpets and bassoons.
Gotcha.
You don't have bassoons in a marching band.
I think they do. You might be ill-informed there. Sonny Bunch, welcome. All things Sonny, available at Sonny Bunch on Twitter. He also is the host of Across the Movie Aisle, a great podcast on movies, The Bulwark Goes to the Movies, and many other fine things. So, Sonny, you are not sending us to a band-a-palooza, I hope, tomorrow. I hope you have something for us to see in the theaters.
Well, we could talk about Drumline. I feel like that is also, that's a band-a-palooza sort of movie, right?
So is American Pie.
Competition of drumming, you know, groups. I don't know. What's coming out? All right, so we're in that weird stretch where we have a Marvel movie out the weekend before, which means that nobody wants to release a movie this weekend because nobody wants to compete, you know, in either of the first two weekends with the Marvel movie. So in theaters, your options are a little bit light right now. But Netflix is not scared of Marvel. They are releasing one of their big blockbuster movies of the year this weekend. It's called Red Notice. You probably haven't seen any ads for it because they don't show ads, it is a big $200 million heist by way of Indiana Jones-style movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot as a trio of Dwayne Johnson is playing an FBI agent who's trying to clear his name. Ryan Reynolds is an art thief, and Gal Gadot is another art thief. She's a competing art thief. They are trying to steal or recover three eggs, the eggs of Cleopatra, which are these ancient artifacts, not a real artifact, but ancient artifacts from Egypt that were given to Cleopatra on her wedding day, and they're priceless. They're very valuable, and they're trying to recover these. Dwayne Johnson, so he can clear his name, the two art thieves, Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot, so they can sell them to a Egyptian businessman who wants to give them to his own daughter as a wedding gift. Okay, that's the plot. The plot doesn't matter for this movie. What matters about this movie is that it feels as though it was created by an algorithm somewhere in Netflix's basement. I mean, you have the three biggest, arguably the three biggest movie stars in the world in Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot. Maybe you could switch in Scarlett Johansson for Gal Gadot. I don't know. You have a plot that I would describe as, again, it's like The Sting by way of Indiana Jones. There are even some Nazis in this movie. There's Nazi treasure to be found.
Oh my gosh! Isn't that close to copyright infringement?
It's not far off. It's not far off. And you take all these things and you throw them together in a blender. You have it directed by this guy. His name is Rawson Marshall Thurber. He's probably best known as Dwayne Johnson's in-house writer-director. He also did Skyscraper, the Dwayne Johnson movie, and he did Central Intelligence, which is the movie with The Rock and the comedian Kevin Hart, who is a perfectly competent Michael Bay knockoff action filmmaker. He's no great shakes, but he's fine. And you make this thing. And it's the sort of thing that when you put it on the front page of Netflix and, you know, 200 million people see that on their screen in a weekend, they're like, yeah, I'll give that a shot. Why not? I'm in for the weekend. It doesn't matter. It's the sort of thing that gets watched by, you know, there's a 100% chance that Netflix puts out a press release sometime in the next 3 days that says something along the lines of, 95 million people watched at least 2 minutes of Red Notice, and that's why it's a big success for us. That's why it justifies the $200 million price tag. It's going to be the most watched, least remembered movie of all time. I saw this movie on Monday. I went to it. It's playing in a few theaters right now, just because I think, you know, Netflix wants to keep Dwayne Johnson.
Are they trying to get an Oscar nomination for The Score or something?
No. There's nothing. There is. I saw it on Monday. I can't remember a single line from the movie. I can't remember a single line from the movie. There's nothing approaching an interesting visual shot in this. There's no you know, big bravura action sequence that people are gonna be talking about on the way home. It's not even like fun, ridiculous like the Fast and Furious movies, right? There's nothing over the top and awesome. There's no real great spectacle. There's no really amazing action sequence. It is just perfectly competently done.
Now, okay, I want to contrast this, Sonny. I want to go into the off-script Sonny Bunch. Said to you, give to me a quiet little movie that has hung with you for decades, that you like and you want to find again, and the title about which you can't really even remember correctly, but you know it was a fine film. To contrast with Red One Dawn, whatever you just told us about, the name of which I can't remember.
Red Notice. It even has a boring, flat name. Nobody can remember.
There's Red Dawn and there's Big Red One, but the idea of Red Notice, it's like a communist. It should be a communist movie.
Yeah, you would say, like Red Corner, right? The Richard Gere movie.
Or the Red Violin. There are a lot of good red movies.
Yeah. You know, I can't remember if we talked about Last Night in Soho at all, but that's out in theaters right now. It's still in theaters for a bit. That might be worth checking out. It's the Edgar Wright movie. It is a horror movie, Hugh. You might not love that.
No, I'm not gonna go
but
for
it. It's very stylish. It's a kind of horror thriller about a young woman at college in London who sees ghosts. There's kind of a sixth sense thing going on there, and she kind of transports, you know, mentally back in time to the swinging 60s London. It's interesting. I don't want to spoil too much, but you should if folks are looking for something.
Well, wait. How much of a horror movie is it? Is it a thriller or is it a horror movie?
It's definitely a horror movie. I mean, there are ghosts and murders. It's not fair. I would not describe it as a thriller. I wouldn't want you to go in expecting you know, a fatal attraction or a basic instinct.
But I really love London, and I got Jones for the London 60s scene, which I was too young to enjoy, but I can distantly remember Twiggy, right?
If you just want a vibe to 60s London, then this might be a good movie for you to check out. But I don't want to get accused of a failure to warn. There is some pretty rough violence, and again, there are ghosts in this. There are scary.
I don't mind ghosts, provided they're not like demons.
They're pretty demonish. They're pretty demonic in this movie. I know your taste, Hugh. I think that you will like, I think, the 60s London stuff, but you might not love the ghosts.
So okay, do we got anything else? Because you talked me out of the Eternals. You just talked me out of Soho something or other. I don't want to watch Red Dawn Notice. What do I want to watch?
Well, there's a movie. It's a tricky one to recommend because it's a slightly awkward movie. It's called The Beta Test. It's on VOD now. You can find it on VOD, video on demand, for rental and for purchase, I believe. It is the best way to describe it is it's like an indie Basic Instinct crossed with The Social Network. It's about a movie agent who is offered a no strings attached sexual encounter with a stranger. He's about to be engaged, but he is intrigued by this offer. He goes and takes the stranger up on the offer, and the rest of the movie is him trying to figure out why this happened and what happened to him. But on top of that, that's the window dressing. The movie's really about the world of social media in which we live. It's a critique of that, but it's also a critique of the ecosystem of Hollywood. I mean, really, the story here is about this agent and his agency and the packaging fight that they were having with the Writers Guild. I mean, I don't know. It's too complicated to get into in depth here, but there was a big fight between the mega agency and the Writers Guild about producing fees and that sort of thing. But it's a very interesting business of Hollywood movie. It's a very interesting kind of erotic thriller. It's light on the erotic. It's not like Basic Instinct. There isn't a ton of nudity, but there is some. It's really good. I like it a lot, but it's a slightly awkward movie. It's almost in the vein of cringe comedy, like if Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you watch that.
You've sold me on the beta test. I'm glad. That's 1 out of 3 Sunny Bunch, plus no failure to warn. I'm totally warned on Soho, and I can cover my eyes and go watch 60s Vibe London. But I do appreciate the absolute veer. You're waving us off from the red note.
I mean, look, Red Notice. Red Notice is the perfect Netflix movie in a way because it's the sort of thing you can turn on and fold your socks while you watch, and you won't be missing anything because there's nothing memorable in it.
Who has enough socks to fold for 10 minutes, Sonny?
Well, I don't know. I've got a lot. I've got two kids. They've got a lot of socks. I could fold all of the family socks in that period of time.
I was going to say that's simply. Dwayne might have a lot of socks to fold tomorrow at BandFest, but Sonny Bunch, Across the Movie Aisle podcast, as well as Bulwark Goes to the Movie, as well as everything he writes at Twitter, at Sonny Bunch, I would encourage you to check that out. Let me return to the question of the day, which is critical race theory. Christopher Rufo was my guest last night. I did a podcast with him. All I can tell you is you got to listen to this fellow. He's on the most wanted list of the left. And I had a great conversation with him. It will be posted at the interview with Hugh Hewitt later today. There's a second podcast every single day, which is a highly concentrated Hugh, the best of the Hugh Hewitt show. And of course, now you can download the Salem News Channel and watch the show. Watch every Salem show, get your news, and we're developing new news channel programming every single day, but it begins and ends with the Salem News Channel. Go get that app today.
And one time, at band camp, we weren't supposed to have pillow fights, but we had a pillow fight, and it was so much fun. Flynn.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Eric Clapton is in the jailhouse of the Washington Post. Dwayne is going to be running Bandcamp Palooza tomorrow in Southern California. I am reading this book, The Road to Ohio State, about Ryan Shazier right now. The author of The Road to Ohio State, Doug LeMaurice, joins us now. He is also the co-host of the College Football Playoff podcast, College Football Playoff Show podcast. Yeah, I'm really digging your book, Doug. And Ryan Shazier, I always forget that these are kids. Even Odell Beckham Jr. is 29, but these recruits are 17, and everything changes. You know, Urban Meyer quits Florida, Jim Tressel gets sanctioned. It's really wild what 18-year-olds have to decide.
And they have millionaire 40-year-old, 50-year-old head coaches coming to their schools. Those teenagers are determining the lives of the head coaches. It's a lot of pressure, but it is interesting to get the family background. Sometimes you know, you're 17, you never know what's going to make you make a decision, right? A lot of it's heart, a lot of it's gut, but it's one of the most, I always tell these guys, other than maybe who you choose to spend your life with, picking your college might be the most important decision you ever make in your life.
For a football player, it is. I often tell people, if you don't like your college after 1 year, get the hell out of there. But if you're a football player, easier said than done. Doug, the Ravens lost last night, so I'm in a fine, fine mood. I need you to get closer to your speaker because I can't hear you very well. But tell me this. College Football Playoff Show podcast. I've listened to both of them this week, the Tuesday edition for subscribers, the Wednesday edition for subscribers, and they're both terrific. So I know what's going on. The poor Cincinnati Bearcats are never going to get to the playoffs, are they? Unless we expand to like 12 teams. They're never going to get in.
Well, they need a little help. They're scoreboard watching now, Hugh. They're rooting for other teams to lose. They're rooting for Oregon and Oklahoma to lose. They're rooting for the Big Ten to go crazy. But it is a little disappointing for anybody who likes the underdog that this is as good as an underdog can do in college football. This is the best case they can make, and it's still not feeling like enough right now.
Well, they didn't beat Navy like a drum, and we have Annapolis people in our family that are glad that they didn't beat Navy like a drum, but when they didn't beat Navy like a drum, they plummeted. What was the most important game last week? What's the most important game this week? And what are we going to be talking about next week on the College Football Playoff Show podcast?
Well, Hugh, the herd is thinning. We're running out of important games because we've still never had a two-loss team make the playoff in the 7 years. So we're only down to about 10 teams that really have a shot right now. Michigan State got upset by Purdue last week, but it probably doesn't actually matter because if Michigan State wins the rest of its games, Michigan State's going to be a one-loss Big Ten champ and make it. So that was the big upset last week, the game that mattered, and it maybe didn't matter, except it put Ohio State on alert for Purdue this week.
Well, and we're always on alert for Purdue. We hate Purdue. I think most college football fans hate Purdue. They never win the Big Ten. They don't win anything, but they beat ranked favorites.
In the last 18 years, I think it is, Hugh, Ohio State has lost to Purdue four times and Michigan once. So that the last nine times Ohio State's played Purdue, it's 5-4 Ohio State, and one of the Ohio State wins was in overtime. So somehow Purdue is equal to Ohio State when they play. They're number 19 in the country. They're coming to Ohio Stadium for a matchup on Saturday at 3:30. And at the same time, Oklahoma, which has a lot in common with Ohio State, neither Ohio State nor Oklahoma has a win over a ranked team right now. Oklahoma's playing number 13 Baylor on Saturday. So down the stretch, Ohio State and Baylor are both playing a bunch of ranked teams. They both have a lot of opportunity, but they both have a chance to get upset because they're being tested like they haven't been tested yet. And Cincinnati's on the sidelines saying, I hope somebody loses. I hope somebody loses.
Have you ever watched, Doug, any movie where someone goes out on the ice? Every movie where they go out on the ice, we know what's going to happen. They get further out on the ice, yeah. They see the crack, and they end up in the water. That's Oregon and Oklahoma. Both of them are way out on the ice. We hear the ice cracking, and every Sunday I open up, because the Oregon game's usually late and I don't watch it, and I look, and they haven't fallen through the ice. Do you expect one or both of them to fall through the ice before the end of the season?
I think at least one will fall through the ice. Oregon won't get tested quite as much. They have Utah waiting for them still down the line. That's a good team in the Pac-12. Oklahoma, we still don't know about you. They really haven't played anybody. And they got Baylor, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State, which is their big rival, obviously, beyond Texas, at the end of the year. So it feels like it's coming. Something else is going to happen. It's not going to be easy these last 3 weeks. I do think Oklahoma's going to lose.
Yeah, I think the ice is cracking. Very quickly, OBJ to the Rams, good or bad in your view?
I thought he'd go somewhere where he'd be more assured of getting the ball. They have two really good receivers in L.A., Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods ahead of them. It's a little bit of an interesting fit, but it is L.A., baby.
And Ravens lost last night. I will look forward to my Orange and Brown podcast today, to my Buckeye Talk podcast, but especially to the College Football Playoff Show podcast. And kudos on the road to Ohio State. It makes my Thursday night reading excellent. Doug LeMaurice, thank you. From Cleveland.com, I'll be right back. America, hour number two of the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. We talk football and movies every Friday, and then we go for the juggler, politics. Stay with us. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Joined now by the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Hugh. You know, sometimes poetry is perfect for making fun of things, and sometimes it has a more serious purpose. I usually try to stay away from that, but this week I've tried my best to do otherwise. There are many things that make us, but the thing that makes us whole is what no other creature has, and that, friends, is our soul. The body is demanding. Poets call it crude. It has a thirst for water. It fights its way to food. All its subtle systems are delicate and needy. It's programmed for survival. It's hungry and it's greedy. It knows somehow instinctively it really is defenseless. A single cell can kill it. It sees that fact as senseless. And so when there is danger, we see year after year the body is assaulted and so many live in fear. The soul is more resilient, secure and everlasting, immune to most contagion. It flourishes when fasting, as strong when you grow older as it blossomed in your youth. It has one ever-present need, and that, of course, is truth. So when the truth is hidden, it often is today, in the dark and gloomy wood, the soul can lose its way. There is no jab to cure the soul, no man-made therapeutic, no chemical from science, no New Age pharmaceutic. Read then the words of wisdom. Believe what you can see. When disease attacks the soul, the truth will set it free. That's Something Completely Different by Tarzana Joe.
Well, Joe, that is completely different. You're in a somber mood. What happened? Was it Veterans Day yesterday?
Yeah, well, yes. I'm looking around the country and seeing so much untruth that I have to make I see soullessness around, which I kind of define as hatred, anger. The soul doesn't get angry. And so I'm trying to understand.
Well, come to Virginia. We're happier here. And in the meantime, if you need a happier or a somber poem, we go to TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com, TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. And Joe, the website is working. I'm checking every week now because
of
the...
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. Yes, it is. And a lot of summer weddings, people are saying, you know what, we're just going to have this wedding around the Christmas holidays when everybody gets together. So I'm getting very busy, which is really wonderful.
Which is wonderful, and if you need a wedding poem, an anniversary poem, a farewell poem, a reunion poem, or a somber poem, TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. Right. Thank you, Joe.
Comedy tomorrow.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com. Great. Now I'm joined by the Lieutenant Governor-elect of the great state of Virginia, Winsome Sears. Good morning, Madam Lieutenant Governor-elect. Great to have you on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Good morning. It's a great day in our Commonwealth of Virginia. Good morning to your listeners.
I got to vote for you. So did the fetching Mrs. Hewitt. I'm so excited that we got to vote for a Marine Corps veteran. I did not know that you were married to a Marine Corps veteran until election night. That somehow alluded to me. So let's start with the most important thing. Yesterday was Veterans Day. I went to a Veterans Day Memorial in Alexandria, Virginia. There weren't enough Marines there. There were lots of Army and Navy, but not enough Marines. How did you meet your husband? And tell us about your Corps career.
Well, actually, I met my husband after I got out of the Corps. I was a corporal, and he was an officer. And, you know, in the Marines, very frowned upon fraternization is. And so, yeah, but no, I met him out of the Corps, and I wanted to see. I didn't even tell him I had been in the Corps because I wanted to see what kind of character he would be. So, but, you know, we've got 35 years under our belt, so I think we're going to have to keep each other. It's too late now.
Yeah, I got 4 years ahead of you, but the fetching Mrs. Hewitt is stuck with me. She can't get rid of me now. So, Lieutenant Governor-elect Sears, what is the agenda? What have you talked to Glenn Youngkin about helping him with the most as Commonwealth of Virginia? And I am one of your constituents. What's going to happen in the Commonwealth if you get any kind of say in it?
Well, I got to tell you, the beauty of having the whole ticket win as well as the House is that now we can be moving things along in a much better way without the racial intonations, without the constant contradictions of putting employers against employees, you know, $15 an hour when there is no economic reason for it. And so now we've got to fire people in order to get it up to 15, that sort of thing. Glenn has a plan that's called his day one plan. And as I have said, I don't know if we're going to make it to day two, because he's going to work us to death on day one alone. We've got to get the veterans. As you know, we've got about 800,000 veterans in Virginia, and we tax their benefits. He's got a plan to ensure that within 4 years we get up to getting rid of that tax on their benefits. Then we are going to bring in innovative charter schools. Most people don't know that public charter schools are public schools, and so they fight against it. They worship the building instead of the child, and we're not going to just keep throwing money at that. And so he's going to take care of that. And in fact, I put in a charter school bill 20 years ago when I was first in office, but we were stopped. Although it passed, we were stopped through the Board of Ed regs, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, you know, let's pause there for a moment, Lieutenant Governor-elect Sears. The appointments of the Secretary of Education and the Superintendent of Education are, I think, the two most important that Governor Youngkin, when he becomes Governor Youngkin, makes. Have you counseled with him on who those individuals ought to be and what their orientation ought to be towards charter schools?
Well, Governor-elect Youngkin, oh boy, do I love saying that. Governor-elect Youngkin has promised us he's going to fire the current superintendent. Day one, fire this current superintendent. Now, I believe he's going to have at least two appointments almost immediately on the board because, you know, they roll off.
Yes.
But the board has been stacked now for the past 8 years with all Democratic appointees. So it's going to take him probably all 4 years unless somebody moves out of their own volition. But we can't really get rid of the policies that we have unless we get rid of some of the laws that we have, you see, because what they're doing is implementing the laws, which is why we needed the House, because we've got to bring back some of that and get rid of it, for example, CRT. And, you know, unfortunately, this left-wing media has been gaslighting us to let us know that, well, there is no such thing as CRT. When we have seen with our own eyes that back in 2015, the Virginia State Board of Education put it on their website and put books recommending the reading of such and the teaching of such. And we have other proof. So he's going to make sure that, you know, we get rid of all this nonsense and actually teach our kids. Because, Hugh, it goes even further than Virginia. This is about America. You saw what's happening in China. They threw up that hypersonic missile that General Motley said he was shocked. Are you kidding me? You are the chairman, and you're shocked that your enemy did this?
I've got to ask you, Lieutenant Governor Alex Sears. I had Christopher Rufo on last night. He'll be on the webcast, the podcast with me today at the interview with Hugh Hewitt, and I played a couple of segments of it. Chris Rufo is drafting a transparency bill. He believes the most important thing for parents is to see what the curriculum is, what teachers are teaching, not to have cameras in the classroom, but to know which books. If you really are opposed to CRT, you just want to know what the curriculum is, because they're not going to label something CRT 101. I'm a graduate of 12 years of Catholic school, and Catholicism was in every minute of every hour of every day I spent in school. But it wasn't like Catholic chemistry and Catholic physics. It's just a Catholic school. So a CRT school is the same way. He wants transparency in the curriculum. I think that's a great bill. Will you be championing something like that?
Well, I would be, except I don't get to vote unless it comes to a tie vote, and then I can have my way in that. But absolutely, we don't want to get rid of history. I mean, come on. We have to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, everything, so that we don't repeat it. That's not the issue. The issue is that you're pitting one race of child against another race. And, you know, we all know it's one race, but just for conversational purposes. You tell the white child you're an oppressor. Your mommy and daddy are oppressors, and you've always been oppressors. And then you tell the black child you're a victim. You've always been a victim. And, you know, it kills the spark in the black child. It demoralizes the white child. And what does that do for school, the environment? It's poisonous. And then the Democrats get to swoop in as the political saviors and give us yet another program to overturn what they just created using our tax dollars. It never ends.
It never does that. But Lieutenant Governor Sears, when you ever hear for example, CNN host arguing with Senator Rick Scott the other day, said at least four times, but we all know that CRT is not in the curriculum. CRT is not in the curriculum. It's a talking point among the overclass now to try and pretend that the Virginia results were somehow a hoodwinked electorate, when in fact it was a very angry group of moms who were very upset with schools being closed for a year and a half, very upset with mask mandates K-3, very upset with CRT, very upset with sexual assault not being reported in Loudoun County. What do you say to that anchor when that anchor says CRT isn't taught?
Go get a clue. And don't try to make us idiots. We know what's going on. I have knocked on doors in neighborhoods in the very rich and the very poor. And let me tell you, to a person, they tell us that they want choice. They want choice. The real racism to me is the fact that rich people have a choice when it comes to their children's education. They can up and move them, etc. But when you're poor, you can't. I have a business. I have a small business. I would love it if when you moved into my neighborhood, you could only use.
Oh, we lost her. What happened? That wasn't us. I think that was Dwayne getting ready for band day tomorrow. Did you cut off the lieutenant governor-elect of Virginia, Dwayne? Because I got to live in this state. I can't have you just dumping lieutenant governor-elects. I think he did. I think he's sorry about it now. I hope she's calling back. I'll tell you right now, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Oh, she's back. Lieutenant Governor, that was our producer. I don't know why he doesn't like Winchester or small businessmen, but thank you for calling back.
Right. So my point is, I would love it if I had that kind of monopoly on everybody's business. You move into my zip code, you must use my business. Well, that's what we're saying to people, to our children. You come to this zip code, this is your school, no matter if it's failing or not. Tough. You suck it up, and if at the end of 12 years you don't have anything to show for it and you failed, you suck it up. No. Our children don't get do-overs. We've got to change. And by the way, you know that we public monies are going to school choice of a sort. Yes, we use public monies in pre-K programs all over the United States, and then we also give them federal funding to go to colleges, universities, community colleges. So how would we like it if we said to people, to kids, you can only go to this school and this school only if you want to go to college? But none
that
of way
wouldn't work. That is a great argument. I hope you carry that forward. I hope that you get school choice going in a backpack bill like they've got in Ohio. Lieutenant Governor-elect Winsome Sears, keep coming back. A great honor to have you on the program. Congratulations. Part of the great effort in winning Virginia. I look for, she's going to be a superstar in the Virginia Republican politics and national politics for decades to come.
We're honest about the differences, and we certainly know what they are, and we've articulated them. But that's not my lane here.
That's not my lane, John Kerry, the Secretary of State Emeritus, now the climate czar, telling a reporter that Uyghur forced labor in concentration camps not his lane. I'm joined by former Senator Jim Talent, who served in the United States with John, not my lane, Kerry. I'm wondering, Senator Talent, good Friday morning to you. What you think of John, not my lane, Kerry's remarks?
Well, there's this tremendous naivete in the administration in the belief that the Chinese will do any or will agree to anything regarding climate change that they would not otherwise do. So what the plan for anybody who knows Beijing, their obvious plan, sure, they'll talk to us about it. And they'd love it if they can get concessions from us in other areas and keep us quiet about things like the Uyghurs in Xinjiang province. And they'll make promises to do what they would do otherwise because they want to diversify their energy supply. And then they're going to do exactly what it is they want to do. Now, they may make promises to do more than that and then just not keep them. But they're not going to give him anything. They're not going to sacrifice economic growth, which they need to support the state and which they need in order to for legitimacy at home because of what Joe Biden wants at climate change. It is not happening. And so,
we've got a Boston Celtics center with more courage than the climate czar. Okay, we've got a Cantor running around and saying very blunt things about the Chinese concentration camps and their slave labor and their genocide, which, by the way, is a finding in the United States government not subject to being critiqued on TV. It's been reiterated by Secretary Blinken when he was being confirmed. Why does John Kerry not have the courage to call it out?
Because he's trying, again, because they're operating under this assumption that they can get the Chinese to cooperate, Beijing to cooperate, on what his task is, which is the administration's climate change policy, if they mute their criticism. And my big concern is that they're going to give in on other issues, possibly economic issues, possibly alliance issues in the Far East. And the Chinese will gratefully accept that and then continue to do exactly what they would have done. That's what they've done in the past.
Is he in a position, this is what concerns me the most, is he in a position where he might say something about Taiwan that would be taken to the bank by the CCP, because he is, after all, the senior man in the area, as the military likes to say, when it comes to Joe Biden?
Yeah, I am concerned about what is being exchanged in conversations there, whether he's telling them things that may not represent the administration's policy. Because I don't think he is, I have a concern that he's not accepting direction well enough from the National Security Council, even assuming that they're giving him good direction. So, yeah, the whole thing is a sort of, knowing the Chinese as I do, I don't want them to come to any agreement on climate change, because I just can't see the odds on that working out in a way that's advantageous for the United States in any issue we care about, I think, is very low.
Now, the front page of the Telegraph today has a covert warning from the United States to the EU that Russia is going to invade Ukraine. That story is big in Europe. What do you think we will do if they do that?
Well, the first question is what we can do. In other words, what are we able to do in Eastern Europe given our posture there? We're rotating in additional troops because we don't have enough, even if the administration wanted to. To have a permanent base there. So I would hope that we would aggressively support the Ukrainians, at least with arms and diplomatic support. But we're going to be pressed. The initiative is in the hands of the aggressors. which includes Russia and China. And we are weak, and we are presenting as weak, weak relative to the threats, and so we can expect the aggressors to push. Now, whether it will be an outright invasion, whether it will be continued provocation in the air, in the seas, to our NATO allies in the Baltics, we're going to continue to see it. And,
what do you want if you could be king of the world, not queen, not duke, not earl, and you could have the president or Jake Sullivan or Secretary Blinken say something today about Russia? What would you wish them to say?
I would wish them to say that we are going to have a 3-5% increase, real increase as against inflation, in the defense budget every year, that we are going to build additional capacity, that is numbers of ships, numbers of troops, planes, etc., and we're going to continue working on key technology like hypersonics, but not limited to that, and that we are going to prepare to defend our allies and our interests in these key parts of the world. I mean, defense policy is foreign policy at that level.
Would you threaten Putin in any way?
I think I would be careful about saying anything publicly, because when you threaten from a position of weakness, it can actually end up resulting in the aggression that you don't want. I would speak with our actions rather than our words. And the number one thing is to prepare our defenses so that we can increase short-term deterrence.
Jim Talent, great to speak with you as always. Follow Jim Talent on Twitter, at Jim Talent, now with the Bipartisan Policy Center, one of the most respected intellectuals inside the Beltway. Jim Talent, thank you, Senator. Don't go anywhere. The Hillsdale Dialogue is next as we dive into Shakespeare. On this, the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show, go download the Salem News Channel app as well during the break. The Salem News Channel app is must-see TV. Go get it. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that 3-week starter pack, $19.95.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.